find someone who was worthy to open, going back, to open the scrolls. So there was a search that went on, and they wanted to find someone who was worthy to open these seals, loose these seals and open the scroll. And John said that, you know, he looked high and low, but he couldn't find anybody. And he said he started to weep. And as he started to weep, one of the elders came up to him and said, don't cry. He said, because behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, he has conquered so that he can open the scrolls, open the scroll and its seven seals.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse.
Okay, as we get started this afternoon, we're going to be talking about the Four Horsemen of Revelation 6. Some people call it the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. Before we get started, I just wanted to announce that we are starting another apologetics class, and the Bible Institute is going to begin not this Thursday, but a week from this Thursday. So if you want to get registered for the apologetics class, I know a flyer went out today, so you can look at that flyer and find out what you need to do to get registered for the apologetics class. We're just finishing up a class on Right to Choose, Right to Life. And I'm going to tell you what, this has been a powerful class. I mean, God has worked in some mighty ways in that class. So we do have a Bible Institute at Bethany Baptist Church, and we have some wonderful teachers. We brought in some great speakers, and it's just using the word of God to help us live in this present life. So again, we have an apologetics class coming up, and would invite those of you who want to become more equipped at defending and standing up for the faith that you would join us in that apologetics class. All right. We're again talking about the Four Horsemen of Revelation chapter 6. And, you know, you hear a lot about this. You know, movies have been made. I remember one of my favorite movies that I like to watch. It was a cowboy movie, and it was Clint Eastwood. He starred in the movie, and the title of the movie was Pale Rider. And it was actually based on the fourth horse of the apocalypse. Much has been said about these four horsemen. So this afternoon, we want to tell you the truth from the word of God about these four horsemen. So you don't have to follow the theology of TV, Hollywood, or music that, you know, we're going to tell you straight from the Bible what these four horsemen represent. So in order to understand the four horsemen, we have to go back to Revelation 5. And in Revelation 5, we read these words. Let me get to Revelation 5. And this is a scene in heaven, and John is writing, and John says in verse 1, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a scroll written within and on the back." And then he says, "Sealed with seven seals." So I have a picture on the screen of what John is describing. You know, it's a scroll that's rolled up, and it has seven seals on it. And so it's important to understand this, especially as we get into Revelation 6, and we see these seals beginning to open. And this is relevant to these four horsemen. If we went on to read, and I'm not going to read through chapter five, just kind of highlight the key things in chapter five. And we see that there was a search in heaven, on the earth, and below the earth to find someone who was worthy to open, going back, to open the scrolls. So there was a search that went on, and they wanted to find someone who was worthy to open these seals, loose these seals and open the scroll. And John said that, you know, he looked high and low, but he couldn't find anybody. And he said he started to weep. And as he started to weep, one of the elders came up to him and said, don't cry. He said, because behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, he has conquered so that he can open the scrolls, open the scroll and its seven seals. So Jesus was found worthy to loose these seals and to open the scroll. And that's where we roll into now Revelation 6, because, and I like what Revelation 5:12 says, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. He is the one that's able to open this scroll and to loose the seals. So that's kind of, you know, again, if you really want to get into this, you really need to do an in-depth study on Revelation 5, because there's some powerful things happening in Revelation 5. But the bottom line is that, you know, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lamb, he's also referred to as the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. He is the one that's worthy to open these scrolls. So as we look at these four horsemen, and we see Jesus beginning to open, loose these seals and open the scroll, there's a couple things that we want to keep in mind, and I will refer back to these things as we go through the study this afternoon. There's four riders, right, on the horse. There's the white horse, there's a red horse, there's a black horse, and there's a pale horse, right? And they all have riders on them. So other than the first rider, which is, you know, we're going to talk about that, because the first rider we're going to see is the Antichrist. Other than the first rider, the other three riders on the horses are talking about events, you know, talking about wars, talking about famine, talking about death. So the first rider is actually a person, whereas the other three riders represent events. Now, you know, these things, you know, and so I want us to get some perspective on this, right? That when it shifts from horse to horse and rider to rider, that doesn't mean that what the previous rider represented is over. All that means is it just added to it. You know, I heard a good example, and that is, you know, if you hear, like think about all the people who dealt with the hurricane, right, down there in Florida, and all that they lost, right? And then they had to clean up from that hurricane. So, you know, the news reporters were there, and the news reporters were reporting, right? And as the hurricane moved up the coast, it was causing further destruction. And other people were affected by wind damage and floods and stuff like that. So just because the reporters and the reporting might have moved up to cover some of the new things that the hurricane was causing, that doesn't mean that those people who were initially affected by the hurricane, that doesn't mean all their problems went away, right? Just because the focus now shifted somewhere else, that doesn't mean that those people weren't still dealing with those issues. And so I want us to keep that in mind. Just because we move to the next horse, that doesn't mean that the previous things that happened are over. It means that it just added to it, right? It just added to the troubles, and it added to the woes that people were already experiencing. Now, I will say this, there's some good news in all of this. And the good news is that we as the church will not be here once these things kick off. So again, you know, just trying to give you some perspective that when these four horsemen ride, the church will be gone. But I'm going to show you, I believe that as we look at some of the things that are happening in our world today, we can see that the foundation is being laid for these four horsemen. Now, remember when I taught on the last days and we talked about the signs of the time? Let me go back in Matthew 24 and let me read Matthew 24 verses 1-8 for you. Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the building of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, "See ye all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall be thrown down." And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, what shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming at the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet come." So he said that the end is not yet come. When you see these things, the end is not yet come. So when we look at these four riders, these four horsemen, that's the end, right? With the end, when we see those things happen, and like I said, we're not going to be here to see them, but when those things happen, that's the end. Jesus said these other things that you see are kind of precursors that are leading up to it. He says, "For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows." And you may remember when I taught this before, Jesus said, all these things are the beginning of sorrows. That word sorrows is the Greek word odin, and that actually meant birth pain. You know, it was a word that was used for a woman who was having birth pain, odin. So Jesus said, when you see all these things happening, it's just like a woman who's pregnant with a child who was going through a time of pain, the pain of childbirth. And so Jesus is informing his disciples that these signs, what signs are that? You know, the signs where it says wars and rumors of wars, where it says nation rising against nation, famines, pestilence, earthquakes. You know, all these things are like birth pains, right? They're not the deliverance of the baby, but they're the birth pains that lead up to the deliverance. Now, what's one thing, and I'm sure that you ladies that have had babies, you know, have experienced this. I would say 99.9% of you have experienced this. And that is, the closer that you got to childbirth, the more frequent and the more intense the pains became. The more frequent and the more intense the pains became. So what I want to do is I want to show how that we are living in a time that's leading up to these four horsemen of the apocalypse. And as the time gets closer for these four horsemen to come, things will become more frequent and they will become more intense. But remember what Jesus says, that this is not the end. This is not the end, that this is just leading up to the end. So these things that we see around us happening, you know, are good indications that the end is on the way. Now, I'm not one of these date setters, so I don't know when the end is going to be. I just know that, and I think we can safely say this, that we're closer to the end today than we were yesterday. I think we can safely say this, that the labor pains of the last days are becoming more frequent and more intense. So I'll repeat I'll say some of these things as I continue to go through the lesson this afternoon. So we see first there was a rider on the white horse. John records, and I saw when the Lamb, now notice who's opening the seals, right? It's the Lamb. Now let me go back and say one more thing to help us get some perspective on things too. And that is many people believe, many theologians believe that this scroll here was actually the title deed to the earth. That remember they looked high and low for somebody who could loose the seals and open the scroll. They couldn't find anybody. There was only one, the Lamb, the Lion. He was the only one that was able. And so many people believe that this is the title deed to the earth and that there's some bad things getting ready to happen on this earth. Now, there's been bad things that have already happened, but during this time, they will be intense and continue to happen. And I saw when the Lamb, okay, Jesus, opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, and one of the four beasts saying, come and see. All right, look, come on here. I'm giving you a peek into what's going to happen. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. So we see the rider on the first horse represents conquest, all right? And as we think about the conquest, white in the Bible, white horses symbolizes conquest. And that's what this rider represents. Now, there's a lot of debate as to who this rider is. Some people say that this rider is Jesus Christ because he's riding on a white horse. And so they say that it's Christ. But as we study this passage out, we see this is not Christ, but it's the Antichrist. In Revelation 19, it talks about Jesus coming back on a white horse. Okay, so let's do a real quick comparison between chapter 6 and chapter 19. In chapter 6, we see that Christ, what is his function? His function is to open the seals, right? That's his function. In chapter 19, he's riding on a white horse. In chapter 6, we see this rider is wearing a Stephanos, a victor's crown. In Revelation 19, the rider is wearing a diadem. You know, you remember that song, Crown Him with Many Crowns? You remember that song? Well, that's diadem, you know, the crown of a king. Here we see in Revelation 6, the word is the crown of a victor. We see in Revelation 6, the rider is only wearing one crown. In Revelation 19, the rider is wearing many crowns. So that goes back to that song, right? Crown him with many crowns, all right? In Revelation 6, we see the rider has a bow with no arrows. That's interesting, and we're going to talk about that in a second. In Revelation 19, we see that when Jesus comes back at the end that there's a sharp sword that proceeds out of his mouth, and he destroys the Antichrist and the armies of this world that have gathered against him. We see in Revelation 6, the context is conquest, that this rider is going forth to conquer. In Revelation 19, we see the context is righteous retribution, that the rider is coming to execute righteousness, whereas the rider in chapter 6 is coming to execute conquest. And then finally, we see that the rider in Revelation 6 initiates the tribulation, that 7-year tribulation period. And I like this. I like this. I like it. I like it. Revelation 19, Christ comes to conclude the tribulation. Christ comes to say, hey, that's it. That's it. It's over. And so, again, many people want to say that the rider here in Revelation 6 is Jesus Christ, but it's not Christ. As we have done this comparison here, you can see that it's not Christ, but it's the Antichrist. All right. Now notice, this is the Antichrist because look, he has a bow with no arrows. That's very important. Why would you have a bow with no arrows? What can you do with a bow? You know, you can't do anything with a bow unless, you know, you get close to somebody and start beating them with it. And, that's not going to do a lot of good. A bow is not going to do a lot of good. So a bow with no arrows is, as far as war is concerned, is absolutely worthless. So what does this represent? This represents the Antichrist and how he will conquer. Now, remember, he's on a white horse. That means he's going to conquer. How he's going to conquer without war. He will establish a world government without warfare. He will not triumph with military power, but the Bible says with lying deceptions that he will deceive people and people will drink the Kool-Aid. And so he's not going. Now you look at Putin over there in Russia. What is he trying to do? He's trying to annex Ukraine. And how is he doing it? With military might, with military power. So generally, when people want to take control of something, you know, what do? They execute military power in order to take over. Well, the Antichrist is not going to execute military power. You know, he's going to come, you know, the Bible says with lying wonders, with deceit, with falsehoods, and that many people will follow him. You know, if you think about it, just think about this for a second, saints, that this world is ripe for the Antichrist. You know, there's no world leader. If you look at things, you know, who has emerged as a leader in this world? And so this world is hungry for a world leader. You know, even as you look at different places around the world, no one has emerged as a world leader. And so when the Antichrist comes, you know, he will sweep people off their feet. He will.
Thank you for joining us today on Encouraged in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse from our Bible Prophecy series, or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series on Bible prophecy is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus, P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall. Remind you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.